Dr. Copen joins us now. Dr. Copen, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you had one question in the world to ask a genie, Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern, what would it be?
You know, John, your conversation before the break about the Bears having a franchise quarterback,
yeah.
I can't think of anything else right now. I'm stuck on that. There's like an existential dimension to the franchise quarterback in the Bears. I'm a lifelong Bears fan.
Yeah.
You know, I got to know Sid Luckman late in his life. I think that's the closest we've ever had to a franchise quarterback, and there's very few Bear fans who even know who Sid was.
Yeah.
That's how bad it's been, right?
Yeah. That's crazy. we all want it. All right, let's talk about COVID numbers. Everyone's so afraid of a fourth wave because we've seen some numbers creep up here, not only in Illinois, but in a lot of different states. What's your thought process? Well, at the same time, we're vaccinating more and more people. We're doing a pretty darn good job of that. Do you see a little more of a bump up instead of a wave? Do you think it'll be stunted, or is it just too soon to tell?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about this with Anna, John. My belief this entire time was that we were going to see an uptick. I mean, we're still in a pandemic. Everyone's got to remember this. We want the pandemic to stop, but it hasn't. It's still a pandemic. The virus is out there. The virus is going to infect people who have not been infected if they're not careful. At the same time, we're vaccinating lots of people. And just as we expected, as we're getting into April, there's more and more vaccine available. We're able to vaccinate between 3 and 4 million people a day throughout the country. I think 4 million is going to become the number that we're going to be hearing a lot. We're getting there. And we have people who have natural immunity who have had the infection and have done well with it. So I don't think we're going to see a fourth wave that's going to remind us of the third wave or the second wave or the first wave. But this uptick in numbers, it's exactly what I would have expected to see, and indeed it's occurred.
We talked yesterday a little bit about the CDC's report about a downstate Illinois bar linked to dozens of COVID-19 cases. And when you read through, they don't name the bar. They give it the anonymity, which makes sense. They're trying to get some actual information without people fearing reprisal. But they had this bar opening. There was no outdoor airflow. It sounds like my worst nightmare in the middle of COVID. I cannot imagine going into a place like this. And as it turns out, it was COVID's best friend.
Exactly. You know, we've been talking from the beginning that, boy, you go into a place, a bar, a restaurant, any indoor area, the ventilation isn't good. There's a lot of folks in there who aren't wearing a mask. There's only one thing to do in that situation, John, turn around and leave.
Yeah.
It's just a COVID breeding ground. Don't put yourself in that position. And I get it. We all want to go to bars with our friends and, you know, have a beer. I mean, we all miss that. But not doing something like that. And then, you know, the scary thing was those folks who got infected in the bar, they brought it out into the community, right?
Yeah.
The school had to be shut down. And, you know, there's probably a lot more folks that were infected from that super spreader event than even the CDC was able to find. So this is a great example of what we all need to be careful of.
Yeah, for sure. And they even say that. They're like, the number of people that were actually infected is much higher, but some people refuse to cooperate with contact tracers for them to be able to do their research, which also boggles my mind, but I guess I could see it. We've been talking about, you know, and you mentioned so well this rise in cases, maybe not quite the wave that we talk about. I guess the one good news is that these deaths continue to fall. And I imagine it's to what you speak of, that a lot of it is younger people who are getting the disease right now who are more able and have been the whole time, for the most part, to control this thing. Or even if, you know, again, these vaccines at best 90% effective, which is still great, but that still leaves 10% of folks that got both doses of their vaccine or the single dose Johnson & Johnson. That still leaves some margin for contracting it, but it still has huge protections about a serious case of COVID-19, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So let's say there's 90% effectiveness. That means 90% of the people are going to not get very ill. But here's the even better news than that. The folks who do get ill, they don't die. That hasn't been a problem. And those countries that are ahead of us, like the United Kingdom and Israel, their people are not dying, the ones who've been vaccinated. Now, let's just think about that, right? That's really the end point, the literal end point that we all want to avoid. None of us want to get sick, but dying from this thing, that's obviously the worst. It's so tragic. Over 550,000 Americans have perished on account of this virus. So anything that can keep us from dying is great, and that's what this vaccine is going to do. But your point is right. There still will be reports of people who are infected who have received the vaccine. Thankfully, it's a minority of the people who've been vaccinated.
I don't know how much epidemiological studies you've done, and I don't mean to put you on a spot with this question, but there's reports that maybe this will be kind of like the seasonal flu, where you see it come and go over the next couple of years, but we have better treatments for it. Of course, vaccines, maybe there's a booster shot after a year. We still don't know exactly how effective these things will last. We know at least 6 months, because that's how far we've gotten. We won't know till we get to a year or 2 years. Do you think this is something that we can be dealing with here for a little bit of time, but able to manage it just fine?
Yeah, you know, trying to predict the behavior of this virus is really hard, right? It surprised us from the very beginning. You know, we don't have to recount all the surprises. We all know it. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen. My best educated, and I'm going to call it a guess because that's really what it is, we're going to go from being in a pandemic to an epidemic, which is way better, by the way.
Yeah.
There's going to be this virus around. We're going to be hearing about mutations. There's a good possibility that starting in the late fall or in the early winter, we're going to need to get a booster shot. But that's okay, because we can make the right booster to whatever the predominant variants are at that time. And don't be surprised that for the next couple of years, just like we get a seasonal influenza shot, we may need to get a seasonal COVID shot.
With all the mutations out there, and it seems to be for the most part, maybe the vaccine is a little less effective against a couple of them, whatever the case may be, that these things are holding up against the mutations as far as we know. But of course, as we know, every single time the virus goes from one person to the other, it can change a little bit. Does that worry you in terms of what future mutations do, or is it just, you know, until it happens, it's not worth stressing about because we just don't know?
Yeah, I think we all need to understand what's going on. Viruses mutate, right? I mean, that's what they do. Viruses are going to mutate until they find a way to infect the host, which unfortunately is us in this case. So none of this should surprise us, but we all should take a lot of comfort from the fact that all the variants thus far have not overcome the vaccine. And that's such a good thing. The B.1.1.7, which is the UK variant, which is causing so much problem right now in Europe and parts of the United States, the vaccine is effective against that. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The South African variant, the one that arose in South Africa that was causing concern, the same thing. So far, the vaccines are really holding their own. And my suspicion is we're going to continue to see that. So that's a very, very comforting aspect of what's going on.
A lot of people have been talking about the Walgreens story about how they've asked now a lot. They were giving out the Pfizer and Moderna at 4 week intervals. I don't know if they were just doing it to make it simple. I guess that makes sense on their end for scheduling. The CDC now asking them to go back to 3 for Pfizer, keep Moderna at 4. But like, if you've already had two of them and you got them 4 weeks apart, I mean, there's nothing to worry about, right? This is just them crossing the T's, dotting the I's to what was recommended originally.
Right. So, you know, there's been a number of things that seem like they're inconsistencies, Jen. So like in the UK, they have spread out the interval giving the first vaccine until giving the next one. They're going 12 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Our FDA has said, you know what, we're going to follow the studies that the companies have done. We're going to let the results of these well-done studies guide how we give the vaccine. So it's going to be interesting. When we're out of this, there's going to be a lot of analysis done about decisions made in other parts of the world compared to what we decided here. What can we learn from the experiences based on those different decisions? And then hopefully we're going to learn the best lessons So should we ever be confronted with a situation like this again, or just in the normal course of affairs with other vaccines, what's the best way to vaccinate an entire population? It really is a fascinating, fascinating area. We don't know what the real answer is yet, but in America, our public health authorities have said we're going to stick to the way that the initial studies were done.
All right. Dr. Kuppen, we appreciate your time today. I know that we're all looking forward. The optimism is there. We're not there yet, but we're baby stepping along.
Yeah, really. And I think if you were to ask the genie later
yeah,
what the best way is to deal with this, you're going to be told get vaccinated, wear your mask, keep your physical distance when you're out of the house, and we're going to get through this together.
Don't speak for the genie, Dr. Kuppen. We'll see what the answer genie says, but I think you're right.
You're right. Apologize to the genie for me, but will you find out the answer to the Bears quarterback question?
Kevin Powell's on that now. I don't think you're going to get a good answer, though. All right, Dr. Kuppen, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
All right, John. Take care. Bye-bye.